Support for this show comes from Notion. There's only one of you, only so many hours, only so much focus. What if you had a teammate who could work just like you do, with all the context you have, but faster? That's what Notion AI feels like. Notion is the connected workspace where teams create, plan, track, and ship together. Now, with Notion Agent, you can get an AI teammate that finishes the job. Notion Agent can do anything you can do in Notion, completing multi-step actions end-to-end to move work forward while you focus on hard decisions. You assign the task, your Notion agent does the work. Try Notion and Notion Agent for free at notion.com/box.
Welcome to Switched on Pop. I'm producer Rihanna Cruz.
I'm songwriter Charlie Harding.
I'm musicologist Nate Sloan.
And I'm engineer Brandon McFarlane.
So the four of us have convened today to celebrate the life and career and above all music of the immensely talented multi-instrumentalist and performer D'Angelo. We haven't talked about D'Angelo on Switched on Pop since episode 158, wow, where Charlie and Nate, you two, talked to the writer of the 33 and a third book on D'Angelo's second record, Voodoo.
Faith Penick, yeah, that's a great convo.
D'Angelo is a musician who has so much impact. You can see it in the slew of tributes from collaborators and fans alike, on social media, in print outlets. And since we are all fans to varying degrees, today is going to be all about D'Angelo. I just want you, man.
Yeah, man, that was D'Angelo's Untitled off the Voodoo album. Man, I haven't heard that song in a while. Album came out when I was maybe a sophomore in high school. I connected to this album and D'Angelo from the very beginning, like so hard, I think, because the music really spoke to me as not only a hip hop head, but as a church baby. Mm. D'Angelo's a church baby. I'm a church baby. I grew up in a church where music was so much of my daily life. And so I always felt this parasocial connection to D'Angelo in that way. And I found out his influences, D'Angelo's influences as a child in church, were literally the musicians that I grew up with. So we have that connection through the Hawkins family. The Hawkins are a family of musicians and singers and songwriters from Oakland, California, where I grew up.
What's a highlight track that's like a typical Hawkins family thing?
I think if I play this song, you can automatically make the connection to D'Angelo. The song is called What Is This? By Walter Hawkins and the Hawkins family. And from the first couple of seconds, you'll get it. And it keeps setting my soul on fire.
Wow.
But do you hear what I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
That song is from 1980, and it feels like it's 15 years ahead of its time.
The roads, the groove, even the vocal, the way it's written. When I think about D'Angelo and I think about his foundations in like gospel and funk and rock and roll, which I'm sure we'll get into later. He just was this conduit for Black music that is just one of one talent that we're going to miss.
Brandon, I really appreciate you sharing your personal connection to the music, because I feel like we also owe you for this convening. When we found out about D'Angelo passing and it was just devastating, there was a chat with you on Slack that was like, we got to celebrate this music. So thank you for instigating this chat.
I think a lot of people put him in this bag with like other R&B contemporaries like Badu or Maxwell or Lauryn Hill. With respect to all of them, this guy was different. You know, this guy was like, if Dylan and Prince had a baby, different.
So on that note, to honor such a powerful and impactful musician, the four of us are going to listen to three songs together, one from each of D'Angelo's records, and talk about the beautiful things that can be found throughout his catalog. Let's start with his first album, Brown Sugar, and of course, the title track, Brown Sugar. Brown sugar, babe. I guess high off of love, don't know how to behave. Immediately, we got so much cooking here. First song off of his first record, and he's coming out of the gate hot.
I mean, everybody can feel that this is hip hop we're hearing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you can feel it in the drums. The drums feel like DJ Premier or Marley Marl, like hip hop drums. So automatically, he connected to fans of rap music before he even sung a note.
Brandon, I love what you said about D'Angelo being a conduit for so many histories and cultures of Black musical expression. And this track, Brown Sugar, is co-produced by an iconic beatmaker in the hip-hop world, Ali Shaheed Muhammad of A Tribe Called Quest. The fact that D'Angelo could bring that gospel neo-soul sound to some of the best hip-hop producers in the game, whether it's Ali Shaheed Muhammad on this album or later it'll be DJ Premier on Voodoo, I think that speaks about his ability to reach across all these different styles and assemble them together into something you'd never quite heard before.
Yeah. And just for context, this is 1995. If we do a quick search of R&B music in 1995, we have Boyz II Men on Bended Knee. Oh God, give me no reason. I'm down on bended. We have Jodeci Freaking You. This doesn't sound like any of that. I guess high off of love, don't know how to behave. You know?
It's so different. What I like about this track is that it feels like you can extract larger musical genius from its simplicity. Like right off the bat, this is a storytelling song. Like the first line from the jump, let me tell you about this girl. Maybe I shouldn't, right? Like it like sets the tone already. And it kind of launches you into this narrative, which is compelling, you know? I enjoy it. Let me tell you about this girl. Maybe I should. I met her in Philly, and her name was Brown Sugar. See, we be making love constantly. That's why my eyes are a shade. Blood burgundy. The way that we kiss is unlike any other way that I be kissing. When I'm kissing, what I'm missing, won't you listen? Brown sugar,
babe. I guess high up your love, I don't know how to be. Okay, so we have the narrative part of it, but we also have his flow.
Yeah.
That he is singing, yet he has a very strong sort of rap, hip-hop sensibility. When he rhymes something like, her name was Brown Sugar C, which kind of goes across the bar, rhymes it later with Shade Blood Burgundy. And then the intensification of rhyme, that I be kissing when I'm kissing what I'm missing, won't you listen? Clearly he's listening to the Notorious B.I.G. as much as he's listening to Marvin Gaye and all the great old soul heroes.
I mean, even the beat, if we take the beat and really break it down, this is a loop. This is maybe a 4-bar loop. That, I mean, he's expounding on with his vocals and there's a solo. But he's just rocking to the loop like a rapper would.
And I like the solo a lot. I think the solo is this like kind of out of left field moment in what is largely like a simpler song. It's like a pump fake. You get these like clear vocals, right? Which are not really what you hear in D'Angelo music largely. You get this looped instrumental, which is not, again, something that he's known to do. And then you get this like jazzy solo in the middle that makes it so classic D'Angelo.
There's a nice triple meaning of cut me up something. Obviously, this is a song about cannabis, but it's also...
not so obvious to, you know, a 15-year-old Nate Sloan vibe into this song back in the day. I don't know if, Brandon, you were more clued in than I was, but I was like, oh, this song is about a girl. No hidden meaning here. And it's only now listening to it, I'm like, oh, his eyes are a shade blood burgundy because he's high.
No, Nate, I'll admit, I had no knowledge of the metaphor at, this is 1995, so what am I, nine? So me and you are together there.
But also he's cutting up a record and he's cutting a solo. Really nice triple meaning.
Nice.
It's another way he occupies the lineage of folks like Marvin and Stevie and Prince. He's a multi-instrumentalist. He can rip a solo on the organ. He can shred on the electric guitar. He can even sit down behind the drums and give you a beat. Like, this guy is so adept at playing so many different instruments, which, you know, might come from his church background, like Brandon mentioned. I feel like that is going to be the fundamental influence on so many of these aspects of his musicianship.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys remember the music video, but they had scenes where he was playing every instrument. He was on the drums and the keys and the guitar. And I was just like, wow, did he really play all of them? And I mean, he's basically like a human sampler, like, because he's that good.
That's sick. I mean, also, though, I think something to note here is his vocal technique. He is an incredible singer. You know, we're going to discuss this at length today, I'm sure. But there's a special a cappella edition of Brown Sugar that was released on the deluxe of the album.
Oh.
And you could really hear the technique that he's delivering to these vocals. It's so cool.
Brown sugar, babe. I guess high off your love. I don't know how to be here. Brown sugar.
A lot of folks might notice the falsetto first and the amazing performance of it all. The first thing I notice is that there's still a rhythmic pocket when you're only hearing the a cappella. Like, I can almost hear the whole track. He's carrying so much identity of the song just in the voice.
A choir of one, truly. Like, yeah, what he can do with falsetto and stacking harmonies is unmatched, man.
It's awesome. Brown Sugar was released in 1995, as we said earlier, and 5 years later, D'Angelo released his heavily anticipated follow-up record, goes to number one, does gangbusters, the album Voodoo.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense to zero in on D'Angelo's cover of Roberta Flack's song Feel Like Making Love. On this song, he spins out Roberta Flack's song, which is less than 3 minutes long, into a 6.5 minute groove. It's nuts. If you listen to the original Roberta Flack song, you could see how much D'Angelo transforms this song into being his.
Ooh, that's the time. I feel like making love.
So good. When D'Angelo talks about his falsetto in interviews, he uses it to display sensitivity, like masculine sensitivity. It's just perfect. I think that he's treading that line of, like, always asking, like, is it funky? And then let's move from there. Probably from lots of jam sessions. Pino Palladino, the bass player in the Soulquarians band that he used to record the Voodoo album, and Questlove on the drums. And I just imagined him in the studio, like, just working that groove until it was nice and tight.
There's a really nice contrast between what's happening between Questlove and Pino and how D'Angelo is singing. D'Angelo is bringing the lush, sensitive side of the original Roberta Flack, but the way that the drums and the bass punch and command attention in the track, there's a more assertive, really sort of strong quality to those drums set against his vocal, also than the horns, which are just like so gentle. The contrast of strength and gentleness that you hear in this track is very potent and powerful.
Those horns from the late great trumpeter Roy Hargrove.
Yeah.
D'Angelo brought him in from the world of jazz along with the guitarist Charlie Hunter. They brought that improvisatory flavor to this recording. I think you're right, Rihanna. It's like such a transformation of the Roberta Flack original, the groove, the pocket, and then what they do at the end of each of these choruses.
That's the time I feel like making dreams come true.
And then in the Roberta Flack version, we get a little interlude and then it goes back to the verse. But here, D'Angelo, Questlove, Roy, etc., Pino, they all just kind of settle into this little funky, this like E dominant groove. And they're just going to hang out there for a while. They're like, I got no rush. I feel like making love, but I'm not in a rush. I can take my time. I can hang out in this like funky E7 groove for a while. And then when I'm ready, I'll go back. That's the time, you know. It's like it's such a different approach. It's like you said, Rihanna, it's stretched out.
Yeah.
It's in no hurry. It pays so much respect to the original, but is so thoroughly its own thing.
If I can combine Roberta Flack's version. With like a Parliament funkadelic song. That's how we got here.
Yeah.
All of Parliament songs are at least 5 minutes long because the groove is so good to them, they cannot stop playing. That's what I think is happening here. It's like the mix between Parliament, like bringing that funk foundation into soul and R&B of the 70s, Roberta Flack.
And I think throughout his entire career, we'll get to this a little bit later, D'Angelo really pays fealty to the greats that have come before him. And covering Roberta Flack here is a choice, similar to how on Brown Sugar, he covered Smokey Robinson's classic, Cruisin'.
Rihanna, can you spin us a little bit of the original Smokey Robinson version so we can hear how D'Angelo put his stamp on this one?
Oh, absolutely. One of the greatest choruses of all time, I think, transformative.
Yeah, Smokey's the GOAT.
Once again, I feel like D'Angelo has taken this incredibly anthemic, super familiar song and kind of transformed it in this way. He puts it in that dark, subdued world of his. There's a little bit like more of an edge to his Cruisin' than Smokey's, you know? Mm. Something about the harmonies. He's putting a lot of like seventh chords in there. He's putting a little bit of an edge in it that's missing in the Smokey version.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's like minor. He starts the chorus off minor. That's crazy.
Yeah. Ooh. So it's like cruising is made for love, and then he does these crazy harmonies, something like that, right?
It's
like,
nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, that's more there. There it is.
Now we're in church. No. There's a church.
It's still smoky, but there's just that little extra, you know, sauce on top.
these songs that he's covering, right? Feel Like Making Love, which came out in 1975, Cruisin', which came out in 1979, they have very vocal forward productions. The vocal is intelligible and it's at the front of the mix. Something that is present throughout D'Angelo's catalog, and you could hear it on his cover of Feel Like Making Love, his voice is not at the front of the mix, it's in the middle of the mix, right? And I saw somebody call D'Angelo, quote, mumble R&B, because you can't really tell what he's saying a lot of the time by design. Like, there's a lot of ad-libs, a lot of percussive vocals buried in the mix here to create an immersive vocal environment.
I think that's the running joke. Like, there are certain songs I still don't know the lyrics to. And had this not been a cover, I probably wouldn't know the lyrics to this one either. It's just like, who knows?
I read an interview with Sam Sanders talking to the literal engineer of Voodoo, who was like, I, to this day, don't even know what he was saying in that room. And that guy engineered the record. Like, it's so by design. It's remarkable.
That's Russell Elevato. And he and D'Angelo did things to make his voice sound even harder to understand. Like, D'Angelo would record to tape and then they would speed it up using a Varispeed player. So his voice would sound kind of high and a little chipmunkified, making it even more difficult to understand. Then he would layer that in with like his low bass notes. And so when you put it all together, you're like, where is D'Angelo? What is he saying? But I think you're right. I think he's trying to obscure the words in order to immerse you in his sound world.
Amazing.
There's a lot of things buried in there. And I think, Brandon, you called him a one-man choir before. It's very clear that that's his intent. If you listen like about 2.5 minutes into Feel Like Making Love, you could hear all of these people. It sounds like there's people in the studio, but I know it's just D'Angelo layering his vocals over and over again.
How come no one else can do that? It's wild. It's like, nobody. That is the D'Angelo sound. No one can quite capture it.
Somebody like Beyonce, who talks about D'Angelo with the highest reverence, is because of this album. It's because he did so much on the vocal end that if you could sing, you had to listen to this album to hear what he was doing. Like, I don't know how to best explain it.
When it comes to Feel Like Making Love, there's a sexiness that surges through all of his music. And because of that, his legacy is often quite unfairly reduced down to being a sex symbol. In Jason King's essay on D'Angelo's Voodoo, Jason King wrote about the effects of what the Untitled video had on D'Angelo's career. Of course, the Untitled video, D'Angelo is wearing only a crucifix, dancing in front of a camera, just him and his body. And D'Angelo, in that moment, King says, became recognized in the culture as more of a bachelor stud than a serious musician. And that had detrimental effects to his career and also his mental health, frankly. You know, he retreated from the spotlight after this. And I think labeling D'Angelo as a sex symbol merely ignores his larger talent. You know, even the songs that are sex forward on Voodoo, like Untitled, parentheses, How Does It Feel? These songs have inner musical lives. They already got me right where you want me, baby. I just want you, man. There's melodies in the vocal stacks and phrasing in the lyrics that feel wholly unique. It's rare that I hear a song where I'm like, I have never heard any of these pieces before. Like, this is something totally new.
Well, and of course, the rhythm, which has been talked about ad nauseum, this group inspired by the loose rhythms of the producer Jay Dilla, bring this very loose idea of playing all over the beat in ways that are totally unexpected. They really gave a new language to how a band could approach rhythm. The bass could be so far behind the beat. The vocal could be ahead of the beat. The drums could be right on. But maybe the hi-hat is also off. It's all over the place. And we hadn't heard anything like that. And in some ways, maybe it does feel so romantic that people didn't even recognize the innovation because it was so effective at communicating what it was setting out to do.
Yeah. And I think we mentioned this before about the simplicity that D'Angelo strived for in his records. The space between everything, the three instruments that are there, the drums, the bass, and the keys, and then D'Angelo, like you can count seconds almost in between them. You know, it's just like, boom. Like, it's full of space. That makes it an anomaly to me.
So on his first two albums, it's clear D'Angelo has established a through line of musical invention and beauty. But often in the public eye, that talent became overshadowed by the sex symbolness of it all. That image put a self-imposed stoppage on D'Angelo's career. And when we come back from break, we'll talk about his musical return in 2014.
The world is changing faster than ever. Now, with The Economist Insider, a new premium video offering, we're giving you unprecedented access to the debates shaping our world.
I have sat around that table at NATO.
There is an incoming missile attack now.
Could you answer the question? I'm sorry, we've got very little time left.
With a few surprises along the way.
I can't promise we'll have a cocktail every time, but we'll try.
So, don't just be an Economist reader. Get on the inside track with The Economist Insider. Go to economist.com to join the conversation.
So 14 years after the release of Voodoo, D'Angelo returns to music with what can be fairly called an opus, I would say, dedicated to Black people and Black music at a time of political unrest and upheaval. That is the album Black Messiah, D'Angelo's most political and expansive record. He released it in 2014, and in the liner notes, D'Angelo says that the album is inspired by people rising up in Ferguson and in Egypt and in Occupy Wall Street and in every place where a community has had enough and decides to make change happen. So the album carries this message, but at the same time, the record serves as a genre-spanning reflection of the Black music canon while centering D'Angelo's all-encompassing musicality. Both of those things, the message and the music, can be heard on the track The Charade. Again, his voice is not at the front of the mix, but in the midst. You know, it's like you're watching a live performance and everything is kind of swirling around you.
Yeah, it's slippery. It's behind the beat, but the guitar is driving it. Then the chords in the guitar, you can't really get a hold on. But the harmonies are already there, like the P-Funk style, like with the pitched up stuff happening with D'Angelo's voice. It comes at you very fast.
There's also a sitar on the hook. I don't know if you all clock that, but the sitar that kind of fades in and out with this little riff throughout. Right here.
Is that the maybe sitar guitar, something we also hear on Stevie Wonder tracks?
Mm-hmm. It's like so fast. Seal it feels delivered. Like a Prince riff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that Dan Electro electric sitar thing, probably. That's cool.
If I could think about Black artists from the past that he'd be channeling here, I'd probably think about Curtis Mayfield, one of the like forerunners of protest music in the 70s. He has a song called If There's Hell Below, We're All Gonna Go. Let's hear a little bit of that.
People running from their worries while the judge and his juries dictate the law that's partly flawed. Cat calling, love falling, fussing and a cussing. Top feeling now is killing. For peace, no more.
When you enter into the sound of political protests, the spaciousness, silence doesn't work as well. Listening to Curtis, it's noisy. Mm-hmm. It's boisterous. It's distorted. It's incredibly full. I think we hear that same approach on Black Messiah as well.
Right. D'Angelo sings, "All we wanted was a chance to talk. Instead, we got outlined in chalk. Feet have bled a million miles we've walked, revealing at the end of the day the charade." All we wanted was a chance to talk.
Something so beautiful about this song that I'm realizing as we're listening to it together is that it's so murky and dark, right, as we've been saying. But the sitar hook adds a little bit of levity and it brightens the space in a way that feels like an auditory glimmer of hope, right? Like he's singing about these things that are dark and sad and talking about how Black people have walked so long, and he uses the words relegated to savages. And yet you have this little glimmer in there that stands above the mix. That's like, do, do, do.
Another way of thinking about the use of that instrument is that the sitar has a main string that causes other sympathetic strings to resonate. So this might be a bit of a reach, but it's kind of like people listening to his message and the sitar resonating as other voices are hearing that message.
Mm.
It makes sense that that message is also crowded and hard to hear, just like his vocals often are. It's very fitting in this track, because isn't that the nature of protest, is that your voice is so often being drowned out, and yet there are those sympathetic, resonating voices along with him.
Mm. I would say that wouldn't even be a reach, considering how skilled a musician and artist he was, being able to make you feel even before the words kind of resonate with you.
Listening to this song, I mean, it's fitting. It's like it feels like something that should be listened to in a group. There's a communal element to it. Again, with the mixing, it feels like you're watching a performance of it on the street. And there's so many vocals layered in there. It feels like you're in the middle of a crowd. He's reaching to the people listening to the song and galvanizing them to march with him.
Came in hard. I want to talk about D'Angelo being influenced by funk and rock and roll and maintaining that Black history with rock music and being able to still be that bridge. And this song, with the way the drums are hitting and the guitars, feels like a Jimi Hendrix song.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Oh, those hammer-ons, that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
That's very Jimmy.
I have to believe that he was influenced by Jimmy to make some of the songs on this Vanguard album.
And even on this, though, we're hearing like vocals buried underneath the guitar. Like Jimmy's still singing, but the guitar is at the front of the mix. It's crazy. I can see D'Angelo listening to this and feeling very inspired on multiple fronts.
Gosh, we have the church. We've got rock and roll. We've got hip hop. We've got R&B. He was synthesizing all of it.
Yeah. And not making it sound dated. Like, it all sounded fresh. How did he do it?
And I guess that's the question that we leave here with today. How did D'Angelo do it? These are just a few selections from D'Angelo's all too small catalog. He only released 3 albums in his lifetime, so it's a finite amount of work. And with his passing, we are losing not just a creator of beautiful music, but, as we've spoken about, an instrumentalist and an innovator.
Yeah.
Someone who understood the idea of a groove more than perhaps any other musician this century. I'm not sure that there's anybody that can take his place in the canon, because D'Angelo is so singular and on another planet in terms of talent and vision.
I think it's really appropriate that the closing of Black Messiah ends with a song, In Another Life. And it feels like almost a little send-off. It's too prescient. he's ascended. He's left us all feeling ascendant. Thank you all for coming together to celebrate D'Angelo's music.
Absolutely.
Thank you for doing this.
Anytime. I'll be running brown sugar all day.
Switched on Pop is produced by Rihanna Cruz, engineered by Brandon McFarlane, edited by Lissa Soap, illustrations by Iris Gottlieb, theme music by Jossie Adams and Zach Tenorio of Arc Iris, who helped the show win a Signal Award for Best Original Score.
Ooh, ooh.
We're very proud. We're so thankful to Zach and Jossie. We're also so thankful to you all for supporting us. Switched on Pop has also won the Signal Award for Best Music Podcast. It is just such a pleasure making this show with all of you and getting to think about music every single week.
To be clear, it's the Gold Award, Charlie. I don't know if you said that.
We won gold.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yes. Yes. And the rest of our credits. Switched on Pop is a production of Vox Media. We are part of New York Magazine and Vulture. You can subscribe at nymag.com/pod. We'll be back next week. We're going to be going tit for tat on Tuesday. And until then, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.